So back to Leviticus for a second. We're looking again at how you finally are declared clean after leprosy, and then the text moves on to mildew in your home. And that could so easily just be dismissed as, wow, this is ancient custom, and wow, they didn't know better, and, you know, they didn't have bleach, and they didn't have the cleaning products that we do now, and if we found some mildew on a windowsill or on a wall, we'd go after it with what would kill it. And we may even have to cut into the wall to get it. But if we think about it, there's nothing different. I mean, on the surface of things, this was a God's code for hygiene, for health, to allow mold or mildew to develop and spread will eventually cause a health hazard. All kinds of bacteria and airborne stuff can really harm the body if that's left alone. And if it grows until it gets into the food supply and what have you, then you can die. So sure, we can look at it like that. The same is true today. If we find mold or mildew somewhere, well, we have to take steps to remove it. We also have to do some investigation to find how far it spread and wherever else it might be. Think about this spiritually, though. What kind of mold have we allowed to grow on the windowsills of our lives? What have we left over in the dark corner, out of sight, out of mind? What have we left growing up the walls of the basements of our hearts? Because we don't want to go down there. What is growing on the foundations of our lives? What is spreading up the walls? In Leviticus, a priest would come and cut out the area and throw it into an area unclean. And the infected area would need to be rebuilt. Same thing is really true today. Try to kill this mold. If we can't, we may have to cut out a piece of plaster. We may have to cut out a wall. We may have to find the source of the moisture, the environment that is allowing this to grow. Same is true in our hearts. To ignore the mold growing wherever it may be is to allow it to spread. And to allow it to spread means more major intervention has to be done to get rid of it. Until it comes to the point where the whole thing has to be gutted, tore down, and thrown away and started over. So we can look at Leviticus all we want and say, oh, this is such culturally irrelevant to me. I don't get anything from this. Or we can go below the surface and see what's really going on here. Because we are being invited to look at what we've let grow in our lives. Our ultimate high priest is now, of course, Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father. But this is no less true that we must take this to our priest, Jesus, and ask him to come and have a look around. Because isn't the ultimate goal here to be clean? Aren't we after holiness? I mean, why are we spending this time in the Bible every day if this isn't what we want? A life utterly, radically, irreversibly changed by the scriptures and by an ever-increasing passionate relationship with God? If not, then I suppose we can approach these scriptures clinically and just go, yeah, whatever. But that isn't what God is inviting us to. God is inviting us to radical overhaul, absolute change of the way that we look at everything. And that starts at the foundations. That starts up the walls. That starts in the attics. That's a full inspection. And the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us, even today. But as we go through the next several days, and as we continue further into the hope of prayer, and as we press into this, Yeah, Jesus is going to do some incredible things in our lives if we will allow it. He gives us the dignity of choice. He'll back off. He'll let us crash. But that's not his desire, and it shouldn't be ours.